Good morning, and welcome to On the Record. I'm Ashley Sterner. The Loop is back. The Loop being the paved 1.5-mile trail that loops around the lake at Baltimore's Druid Hill Park. It's been out of commission for years because of a federally mandated infrastructure project, a project that's now nearly done, allowing a modified version of the Loop to start welcoming walkers, joggers, and bikers in May. The reopening of the Loop is just the beginning of what's to come to the area around Druid Hill Lake. In a moment, we'll be talking with Reginald Moore, Executive Director of Baltimore City Recreation and Parks, about what the future could hold. But first, a look at how we got to where we are right now. I'm joined in studio by Khalil Zaid, Director of the Baltimore City Department of Public Works. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me.
What was the impetus behind the original project? What was the federal government requiring Baltimore to do at Druid Hill Park?
So the federal government implied not only to Baltimore, but nationwide, is the Safe Water Act. And that mandate required every municipality, every provider of water, to have a safe drinking water. In our case, it is to make sure that the water is put in tanks. So for Druid Hill, for specifically, we had to install two water tanks, each of them the size of a football field, 46 million gallons of water, to make sure all the drinking water are within these tanks. Any water that you see in the lake, that is not part of the drinking water.
But at one point, that lake was the reservoir. That was Druid.
That is correct.
Reservoir. But right now, it's Druid Hill Lake, and it's not connected to the drinking water supply.
That is correct. All the water that you see right now is remnants of the drinking water that we have. We're not going to be sending that to anybody to drink. In the future, what we're going to have is storm water feeding into the lake itself. But the drinking water that we have, that is the inside the tanks and the tank protected.
Most of Baltimore's drinking water comes from the reservoirs that are outside the city, Liberty, Pretty Boy, Rock Raven. Where does the water in the Druid Hill, now the Druid Hill tanks, where does that water come from?
It does come from, mostly comes in from Liberty and comes from the Towson area.
And the water that's in what's now the lake at Druid Hill, where does that water come from?
Well, the water in the lake is just a storm water. So coming, the collection of all the storm water coming from the streets, it will be feeding into the lake itself.
So we have this construction project federally mandated to make sure that the water is safe. We have these giant two now underground football field sized tanks. This is a project that started way back in 2017, the construction of it. There's been a lot of changes in the intervening 8 years, three different mayoral administrations, lots of turnover at Department of Public Works. Did all those shifts impact the timeline for the work?
Absolutely. That's only part of it. I mean, we could say that is the pandemic has happened in the middle, too. has a major impact on it. But also the nature of this project itself, this is a new project for us. So I'm looking at it in terms of, this is not the regular project that we do on a regular basis. It's a large project in size. It's $140 million. It's underground. What that means is you really have to dig really deep to get that size of a tank. And as you dig deeper inside, there are certain things that you see and you find that are not predicted. You don't know what happens. And those are the things that you'll have to deal with.
What sort of things did you have to deal with?
One of the things that we have to deal with is sort of the rocks under that we didn't anticipate when we went under the soil to see the type of rocks that we have. And now the need to use explosion to get some of those rocks out. Now, you don't just get explosion to the area. You have to a whole new process that you have to go through in order to allow you to do that, in order to make it safe, reach to the community, reach everyone, let everybody understand what we're about to do, make sure that you surround it to minimize the sound of the impact, doing all those issues to create that safe environment in order for you to dig and to dig deeper. As good as the design can be, it cannot take into account everything that is going to come throughout the process and to address it.
And there were several curveballs, the rocks just being one of them.
Yeah, large one.
How did you keep the community informed about the process as the timeline changed, as you hit those obstacles?
Right. I have to admit, I've been here only for just a little bit over a year.
Mm-hmm.
But my understanding that is the community kept informed throughout the process. And we have actually quite a few communities that we involved them on Daman, Remington, Reservoir Hill, Cobden Heights, Druid Heights, Hamden, Midfield, Woodbury, Woodbrook, and Wyman Park. So it's you have quite a few community association that we have, you know, to get involved with and address and keep them abreast of all the situation and all the issues that are needed to be dealt with and we're dealing with at the same time.
So what is left to be done with this phase of the project?
So one of the main things that needed to be done is the final testing of the instrumentation and the control system. So in order to manage the system itself and the tank and to allow for the tank to provide water, shut the valves, open the valves, doing all of that stuff, it is a complicated system. It's done, it's built, but we're testing that. We're finalizing the installation of the stormwater management, all the pipes to collect, because at this point, we're not going to be putting drinking water into the lake itself. The lake will be fed out of the stormwater management system. We're doing also the basins and the swales. So as you look inside that area around, you're going to need to have basins and swales to allow for the water. When it rains, that water will come in inside some of those basins to collect that water as well. And finally, it is the road around the tanks itself that needs to be paved and completed.
That's Khalil Saeed, director of the Baltimore City Department of Public Works. We're talking about the nearly complete modernization of water infrastructure at Druid Hill Lake and the reopening of the walking loop around the lake. You're listening to On the Record. I'm Ashley Sterner. Now that this part of the project is essentially done, another project at Druid Hill is about to begin, and that one will be handled by the Department of Recreation and Parks. For more on that, we are joined by Reginald Moore, executive director of Baltimore City Recreation and Parks. Welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me, Ashley.
So, Director Moore, how is the handover of operations at the park from DPW to Recreation and Parks going?
It's going well. I mean, one of the things that's extremely important, a big project like this, is coordination. DPW has a project manager that's overseeing the project. I have someone that's overseeing the project. And those individuals are working together, and they're meeting quite often. And they're the ones who are kind of developing the roadmap of how that coordination will look, how that handoff will look. Also, as we're in the charrette design planning now for what the next phase of this looks like, we're also in conversation with DPW. And while they was designing the final end product of the water tanks, our team was a part of those plans so that we'll understand where the DPW plans will stop and where Rankin Park will pick up. So it's been a great coordination. And also we've been working with our other sister agency, which is DOT, because an amenity like this, we want to make sure that the communities are able to connect to the neighborhoods.
Yeah, the Department of Transportation, DOT, also involved in everything here. It's got its own complete streets projects to work for in the Druid Hill area. Director Zaid, how do you see the coordination of agencies going?
Well, I think it went really, really well. And Director Moore and myself are in communication. As a matter of fact, we spoke yesterday. And so we're talking about it. So not only at the level of the project management, but also we both believe at the leadership level, we need to be on the same page as well. And I think we are.
And how do you both work with DOT?
So it's mostly we did work with DOT. And I ran DOT at one point.
So you have a lot of experience.
I have a lot of experience. And I understand that is the logic and what it makes sense for the benefits of the citizens of the city, that level of coordination, so you don't have double the work. So what we've done, we met with DOT, and I met with the director of DOT at the time, and the staff met with them, and we got into the details, which is what we did to the road in Druid Hill. We did all the base and the sub-base of the work itself, and then DOT came in and they paved. That's what they do best. They came in and they paved the area and they paved the entire portion that you see now paved on Druid Hill Park.
Director Moore, how do you see the collaboration?
Yeah, so what our team has been working with DOT on is how you connect this big amenity to the different communities and different parks, because unfortunately there is a four-lane highway that separates the park from the neighborhoods. And so what our team has been doing is sitting down with DOT. We're looking at crosswalks right now and looking at how those crosswalks are going to be able to connect. So I've been speaking to the director, the newly appointed director of DOT of recent, about how the current plans that we're proposing in this next phase, how her team can help us align that to make sure the street, the crosswalks, and the connections make a lot of sense. And then there's further discussion about what is the future of the road itself. Is there an opportunity that, as you can see, the road has been shrunk now from a 4-lane to a 2-lane? How do we continue to capitalize off of that design so that everyone will have access to get to this park? Either if you walk into the park, you bike into the park, whatever form of transportation to get to the park, we want people to be able to get to the park to utilize it.
And let's talk about this next phase for the park, because with Druid Hill Lake no longer a reservoir, the lake now will have a host of potential recreational options, right?
Right. Yeah, so we've had multiple community meetings and trying to get an understanding of what the community has been interested in seeing in this lake. Of course, a lot of people have mentioned fishing piers. So in this next phase, we're looking at designing some fishing piers that connects and get our fishermen out into the water as well.
Are there fish in the lake now?
That's something that will be a part of this phase now that is now no longer the reservoir, that we can add water life or fishing life to the lake itself.
Are there any talks about what fish would be introduced?
No, we haven't gotten to that detail. We'll work closely with our state agency at DNR. DNR does a really good job for us. So we have several other lakes that we operate, and they'll come and fill those lakes for us once a year. So we will be in conversation with them as, you know, we get to that point. But beyond just the walking loop, which we know is going to be a huge attraction because we're already seeing it.
Yeah, everyone loves the loop.
Everybody loves the loop. You see the joggers, you see the bikers, you see the walkers. But what else can we do there? And so we have a golden opportunity to design an event space, an amazing event space that we'll be working in this next phase so that we can have mini concerts, small concerts, whatever the case may be. We're designing a bridge, an island, and how we're connecting some of the streams that all feeds into this lake. And I mean, it's an amazing asset, right?
Yeah.
And when our consultants start really looking at how this lake was formed and how these different streams came into this lake, they wanted to see how they could capture some of this. We're still working through it, but the community really would like to figure out a way that we can make a portion of this swimmable. We're trying to figure that out because we do have the $10 million facility at Druid Hill Aquatics Facility that's really around the curve. But a lot of community members have asked about the possibility of making it swimmable. And then the final piece that we're looking at is the boathouse, where with a mini cafe where people can come, they can enjoy themselves. But the most important piece is how can we get people safely to the water?
So maybe boats, maybe a bridge, maybe fishing, maybe even a beach for swimming. What's the timeline? Where are you in the planning for that?
So right now we are finishing schematics, and the next step will be for design development. And that's that phase we will continue to engage the community. And so our goal will be, again, this is when you're dealing with construction, we deal with design. You think that you have a definitive schedule, things can change, similar to what Director Zaid spoke about earlier when it comes to even construction. But our target would be is that we will have the advertisement out early 2027. Mm-hmm. Our goal would be is to try to have construction started, as long as we get good bids and everything looks well, by mid-2027, and then have an official opening of phase one by 2029.
I just wanted to add one more thing. As Director Moore brought up the 2027 timeline for the bids to go out, between now and then, that area will be grassed. So it'll be grass all over the place. So people could be sitting there and, you know, and if they want to have lunch, they want to have things on that area, that is in the time being, it is usable. So I just don't want anybody to be thinking it is that area is going to be waiting until the construction is complete in 2029 for anybody to use. Kids can play in it. People could, you know, sit there, have picnics, do smaller stuff over there in that area as well.
We certainly don't have to wait till 2029 for folks to be able to enjoy Druid Hill Park, because it is full of all sorts of amenities. And I mean, obviously, you got the zoo, you got the Rawlings Conservatory. What else?
So yeah, Druid Hill Park is a 700 plus acre park with many different assets. Beyond the aquatics facility that's opening for the summer, we also have, of course, basketball courts. We just finished a series of pickleball courts. We have tennis courts. If you just want to walk, if you want to just come out with a family and enjoy the pavilions, we have several pavilions throughout the park. As you stated earlier, the zoo is there. We have the second oldest conservatory, that's Rawlings, that's there. So it's so many different amenities, so many different things. Or you can't forget the athletic facilities that's there. But then also what's unique about Druid Hill is that it's such an amazing park that we host two large festivals there every year. We're about 7 days out, if you're counting, from AFRAM, which will be held at Druid Hill Park, where we'll see hundreds of thousands of people will come on that weekend. And then two or three weeks later, we'll have the Caribbean Festival. So as you can see, you want to play basketball, you can play tennis, you want to play pickleball, you want to come swim, you can come swim in our aquatics facility.
Just not in the lake.
Just not in the lake. I was going to say that. Thank you for acknowledging that, Ashley. But a lot for people to come out, and we can't forget our partners in the zoo as well.
Right. What's your favorite experience to be had at the park, Director Moore?
I tell you, my favorite experience has been at the end of every summer. We have our kind of like summer field day, fun day for all of our summer campers. And to be able to get in the park and engage with the young people, play with the young people, serve them is one of my biggest or most exciting opportunities I get to do every year. So that is a favorite for me. Me personally also, it's just to be able to get out and walk and just enjoy nature. And we have some amazing wildlife that's in our park. So I love sometime after work, depends on the day, to maybe just get out, put on some walking shoes and just walk the park and just see people engage, see people enjoying themselves. All those things warms my heart, because I know we're bringing joy to so many different people, and that's what green spaces can do for people.
Director Zaid, do you have a favorite thing to do in the park?
I love it. Actually, my mother-in-law lives just a block away.
Oh, nice.
So I just kind of, you know, grab and get the tension out just by walking around the park itself with her. And we talk about everything. And that's one of the favorite things that she likes to do around the park itself.
Khalil Zaid is director of the Baltimore City Department of Public Works. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also been talking with Reginald Moore, Executive Director of Baltimore City Recreation and Parks. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
There's more information about all the work being done at Druid Hill Park at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Ashley Sterner. Short break now. When On the Record continues, we've got a story from the stoop. Stay with us.